Hi guys, JJ here. Welcome to Stories by JJ.com's Open Mic Podcast, a show for writers developing their craft and sharing it too. I'm JJ, author of an upcoming Kindle Vela series called The Star Strike. I'm just starting my publishing journey and discussing it to help you guys as much as possible along the way. I'll be examining the writing experience, publishing experience, offering helpful tips, and sharing my blog interviews with authors who are already doing it so we can learn together. Open Mic will include author readings, and hopefully readings from our audience soon if you guys are interested. If you'd like to share excerpts of your stories or books, please visit storiesbyjj.com/openmic. That's all for now. Let's get on with the show. Hi guys, JJ here. Welcome to Open Mic's first episode in 2022, episode number 3. I hope everyone enjoyed their holiday and had a happy New Year's and are staying safe out there. I personally got to take a break from writing and working on the show for a bit. And I actually just got episode 7 of The Star Strike up on Kindle Vela, and episode 8 is coming soon, probably next week as I'm recording this. And it was really interesting coming back into writing and my work after taking a break. I had my first real experience with imposter syndrome. And this is ironically as I'm getting closer to almost finishing the book and getting ready to be in book form soon, hopefully within a few months now. And I don't know if you've never heard of it, imposter syndrome. It just really makes you doubt your work and your right to actually create it. And a lot of writers say like it never really goes away, or it's more common in new writers. But if you're writing, then you're a writer and that's about it. But, you know, easier said than done when you're in that zone. And I've always heard about it, but I never really had it happen to me. And I almost butchered half my book of things that I edited before and was really proud of. And it was a real mess. And so I just wanted to touch on that. Because the latest writing dilemma I've encountered on my journey here in self-publishing. And so if you're going through this now, or, you know, it hasn't hit you yet, I think, you know, me personally, I ended up rereading my work over and over again. And then it was just really like this mood where everything just sounds horrible. So the best advice you'll get out there is just to keep going. And I absolutely agree with that. But I just want to add to that is, for me personally, I ended up plotting and just taking notes on everything I created in my world. I almost created this Scrivener-like Excel sheet with all the world building, just rewriting everything out there. And I'm not too much of a planner with this particular work. And other novels, I have actually planned out everything. So I had all this written out. So maybe that's why imposter syndrome came out of nowhere, because I didn't write everything down. And maybe that's just how I am. And I'm sure there's a lot of other people out there like that. But doing that and seeing how much work I put into this really helped just start to give me just that boost of confidence again. So right now I have this Excel sheet and it looks absolutely insane, but that's okay. It helped. It served its purpose. And then after just continuing to edit it, even though I wasn't still at my full confidence, I eventually re-listened to, I have this Edit Out Loud app that lets me, that reads back everything. I do want to, you know, touch on that in another episode, but it reads back. It's like a speech-to-text app that reads back everything so I can hear it in a different voice and catch extra things that I miss. So I listened to about 9 chapters and I just sat there and I actually got engrossed in the work again and just felt really proud of myself. And, you know, hey, not that bad, JJ, you know, like relax. So just hopefully that helps some of you guys out there. But again, just keep going with your work and try different techniques. Sometimes it could just be a mood or imposter syndrome shaking you up, and I'm sure it may happen again, but at least now I have some experience with it for the first time. So, you know, that's that. This episode is going to be about showing and telling. You constantly have probably heard this before, and if you haven't, We're going to tackle this one today. So I also have a great excerpt being read from Dean Common, author of Drowning and his Something in the Water book series. He did a great job on that recording. So that's also coming up next. So let's get on with the show. What is showing and telling? Now, if you've ever taken a writing class or participated in a writing group, you may have been critiqued that you're doing too much of either in your work. So before we get into this, I want to break down what we're doing with language when we're creating stories. So as humans, we have this amazing gift to use language. Unlike any other species on this planet, we speak words and form sentences, perhaps with the exception of parrots. So unlike parrots, though, we have the ability to create worlds, to communicate feelings that are not always in the present. We could talk about the future. We could talk about the past. Language, it helps us make jokes, lie, recant our childhoods, tell stories of things we've seen or heard from other people. We think of language as a gift that lets us move through time and weave realities. The act of creating a story is put into a different light. In essence, we're creating a world and capturing a scene for our readers and listeners, if you're on do audiobooks, with characters or letters on a page. So these letters or words on a page are our tools we use to communicate an emotion, action, or object, what is signified by the word itself. So in doing so, we transform a reader into the scene we're weaving in their minds. So telling is a secondhand report of that vision of events in a reader's mind. It generally just summarizes things. And you're basically bringing, summarizing a part of the story instead of bringing it to the reader with live action, almost like a movie. So a reader will see, most likely see quick clips in their mind of a story being told, but more like images. You know, the story itself isn't bouncing off the page and playing fluidly in their minds because it's being summarized. So I just want to give you an example of telling. I rewrote a section from my own work, The Star Strike, just to give you an idea so you can spot it in your own work. So telling example. Master brought a gentleman for a visit today. He wanted to show him my abilities. We've been doing trials all week, and he was making progress on his research of my kind, but still hadn't figured it all out yet. The gentleman was doubtful at first, but with a small demonstration, he started to understand Master's certainty that I was indeed a level 5 specimen and different from his other subjects. Okay, so notice in this paragraph, I'm summarizing the trials that they were doing all week. I'm telling the reader that the master brought a gentleman to visit. I'm saying how the gentleman felt. So it's basically retelling events in the character's life. There's no dialogue, no live action happening in these words. This is basically telling. Literally, you can see it as a narrator just talking to the reader about events that make up a story. Now, here is an example of showing. This is the same scene basically being rewritten with showing instead of telling. She's singular, Ludwin said. I haven't quite cracked this riddle, but I imagine as she grows, more about her kind will reveal itself to me. A gentleman squeezed my hand and prompted me to squeeze his back. She doesn't feel quite strong. Are you sure she's a 5? Positive, Ludwin replied. What makes you so sure? The gentleman eyed him doubtfully. My master has simply smiled. He took out a pen from his pocket and held it out to me. GG5, take this from me. I reached for it, but my master shook his head. No, GG5, take it. I knew what he meant. He wanted to see my magic again. We have been doing trials back to back this week. Obediently, I focus on the pen, so light, so frail, and under my control. Slowly, the pen shifted back and forth till it rolled off his hand and floated into mine. I'm sorry, Master, but I don't feel it as strong today. The gentleman looked back and forth between us. Feel what, child? How did you do that? His eyes searched both our faces frantically, but his posture was as stiff as a board of wood. I made him nervous, Master. It's not every day he witnesses some of the things you do, Gigi. My master turned to the gentleman who stepped back from my cell now. And she's not a child, Dottrell. She's a subject, a specimen of the reality we find ourselves in now. So we notice several differences in this showing example of the same scene. So first off, it's much longer, right? The other one, the telling example, was just one paragraph. This took a lot more time to craft. So there's also more dialogue. There's interaction between the characters. And instead of telling readers that the character gave the gentleman an example of her powers, readers actually see the example happening and learn more about the character and the story world through the dialogue and how the characters are interacting with each other. So a full-fledged scene is rolled out for viewers with visual cues instead of just quick images implied by the paragraph where there's telling. And you can notice I did do some telling in this piece. So I put there, we have been doing trials back to back this week. So I decided not to show all the trials because this section was in chapter one, and that's just not where I wanted my story to start. So it's okay to do some telling. I wasn't going to write out every single trial that they did. That would have been very boring for readers. So here I summarized it, and it's okay to do some telling where you don't want to, you know, drag things out for readers. So there, I do this again later on in the Star Strike. So the character is essentially like an alien species that has to adapt and discovers who she is. And she's in a very Victorian, very, you know, proper etiquette world. So part of her development in learning how to be like the natural borns or the humans is to learn these etiquettes. So she has to take finishing classes. Now, it's important to point this out, because this is part of her development, who she's going to become, and that's a big part of the first book. But I'm not going to describe that either. So I only wrote a few paragraphs summarizing it, even though the character herself does this for weeks, for hours and hours, you know, but we get, you know, the gist of it, and that's enough for the reader. So part of editing, part of this whole process is really asking yourself questions. And any editor that you have may ask you a lot of questions on what's actually important to the story. And this is where you have to decide as a writer. And, you know, doing this. So one tip as far as, you know, taking, let's say you have a bunch of paragraphs that you were telling and you realize, you know, you need to craft this as a scene. Most of the time, you know, in our minds as writers, we actually see all these things happening like a movie in our minds. Usually, you know, we see it all. So if you're having some trouble, you know, putting the pen to paper and like you're breaking it down, some things that you can do is pretend that it's a movie and like really imagine it as a movie or a TV episode or, you know, whatever you like there, and see how the actors would act, what physical things would they do to actually show their anger, show, you know, that they're shocked. The gentleman in this scene I just read to you, if you listen to it back, he basically backs away from her cell and from the bars after she does shows her power. So that's, you know, showing his fear instead of telling it. You know, before I told that he eyed the master doubtfully instead of describing the physical expressions of part of this, understanding how humans physically react to things. So you could use that, you know, how actors actually act. They don't have words to, like a narrator telling them how to act in the movie. That would be a weird movie. they stomp their foot, they slam the door, they do things like that. So understanding that, the setting, physical responses, dialogue that would happen, you know, all these things help flesh out a scene and help you with actually showing the story. So if it's too much going on, too much telling, look over your manuscript. And really, it's just, you know, the important parts, scene by scene, that need to happen. Some things may not be super important when you're writing them out, just to help the flow of the story. You have to, you know, be the judge of certain things, you know, in this. And again, it's asking yourself questions.
Okay.
So that wraps up showing and telling. I hope it was helpful for you guys who weren't aware of exactly what it is. I know I am in my early writing classes. I had a teacher always tell me, you're doing too much telling. You're doing too much telling. And I had no idea what she was saying until I took an editing class. So not so many people, they'll critique it, but they don't actually break down what it is. And I feel so bad for some new writers out there who are really trying to understand and no one responds when they ask. So I hope this definitely helped. So moving on into interviews. Last month, I got to interview author Dean Common on his thriller series, Something in the Water, where his main character, a new detective, caught in the middle of a brilliant missing scientist gone missing and a potential weapon of mass destruction being unleashed in the world. It's book one, Drowning, is up on Amazon, and he's getting ready to launch book two in the Something in the Water series this month. So it's perfect timing to check out his new series. And Dean brought up a really interesting experience in writing in the interview, and it's when some characters can be so strong, they demand their own stories be told. In this case, it was his antagonist that's inspiring a later story. So it's a great thing to know as writers, we can find inspiration in anything, even our, you know, strong active voices and something we already creative. And we see this in prequels and chronicle stories that are spin-offs of an original series. So it's something, you know, to always look forward to when you're creating a new book or a short story. And keep your eye out, you know, for that strong character that's just so memorable. I feel like in TV series, we see this sometimes with characters that, you know, actually TV series, we've seen this. Just off the top of my head, I was a big Buffy fan, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, and we had the Angel spinoff, and I was always hoping for a Faith spinoff. Couldn't help it, you know. Yeah, back in the day, you know, dating myself here, but not too far back. But so definitely keep your eyes out for that in your own work. And you know, as far as for Dean Common, you can find him at dean-the-raven.com, and he did a great job on his excerpt. So here's Dean reading an excerpt from book one in his series, Something in the Water.
By my math, Burns, you'll be on site for the better part of 2 hours before the first American team arrives. Wayne squinted at something in the rusty dusk spreading over London. Hiltz wants to be ahead of his own military. We want to be ahead of... He stopped. I trust you'll assess the situation and will act accordingly. Yes, sir, Burns answered. Chief Inspector John Wayne was a commanding officer he could trust because he knew Wayne trusted him. He leaned in with a question. What if I find Dr. Veda and he doesn't want to leave? Then you would arrest him, Wayne replied. Do I need a badge for that, sir? Burns chuckled. Wayne checked his watch, unimpressed. You will enter Iceland as an official transport escort of the London Metropolitan Police. I'm told your digital file will reflect that under inquiry. Burns grinned. Just picking up a VIP? Something like that, yes, said Wayne. Not a suspect. Let's hope so. Understood. Burns asked another question he had his own answer for. And what if I do find Mary, or, say, her blood? Well, I don't suppose you can arrest a pig. Wayne chuckled briefly, then his smile went flat. Dr. Veda is your priority, said Wayne. Leave everything else to the Americans. Pig roast, said Burns, with American barbecue sauce. What I'm saying is, Wayne took a deep breath, we don't think it's impossible to get Veda out before the Americans arrive, and... Wayne caught himself. We, sir? Burns asked again. Yes, we, Wayne affirmed. He raised his furry eyebrows and smiled as if he was surprised Burns didn't know the obvious answer. You and I.
So So that concludes episode 3 of Open Mic. I hope this helped any new writers out there. And if you'd like to share something, whether you're published or not, work in progress, you can please contact me at the Open Mic page on storiesbyjj.com. You can connect with me on Instagram and Facebook with @storiesbyjjg or Twitter and TikTok @storiesbyjj. Your support for the show means the world to me and it helps keep this going. If you'd like to support the show, please share this with a friend or sign up for my Patreon page by checking out the Story Lovers page on storiesbyjj.com. I'm just getting it started. I have 3 small tiers so far, from $3 to $8 a month to pledge. Thank you all for listening and happy writing.